The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 9, text number 34. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on June 19th, 2012, at home of Niraj and Rashmi Gupta in Point Cook, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Manmanabhavamadbhakto majajimang namaskuru mamme vaishyashiyuktvaivam atmanang matparayanah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is very benevolently here, bestowing His blessings upon us. His picture is here on the wall. That's not just a photograph. Prabhupada is actually present. He's been very nicely garlanded with love and devotion tonight. I was very happy to see that Prabhupada was garlanded. And Prabhupada is here blessing us all with His mercy as we study His translation and His purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's name, rather between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one in absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhashya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, fifth chapter, Adi Leela, verses 41-48. Deha devi vibhedo yang neveshvari vidyate kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators did not know the science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demonic. They also think of Krishna but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when would Krishna come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma. But a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna, in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme reward of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta reports to the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Namaam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchanyadeshatarine. So, how fortunate we are to come in contact with these wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Such a great liberated soul, Srila Prabhupada. He was sent by Krishna to this material world to deliver us from our ignorance, deliver us from our suffering condition, to bring us back to our original identities as the eternal servants of Krishna and his transcendental kingdom. Srila Prabhupada is very well aware
of all the misconceptions of Krishna that are very much, that are very much predominant in the world. It's very important, therefore, that one hear about Krishna from the pure devotee, one who understands Krishna as he is. If we hear about Krishna from the rascal commentator, that Krishna is the unborn, the unmanifest, that is within you, that is within me, that is within everything, then how can we surrender to that Supreme Person? You see? Just like one yogi, I attended his seminar, he said, "I'm God, you are God, and we are all God." This conception of Krishna is not correct. That I am Krishna, you are Krishna, and we are all Krishna. Some people say that. I remember the first time I went to India back in 1980. I was in the Delhi airport, a fresh young brahmachari, all enlivened to be in India the first time. Someone, gentleman, he said, "We are all Krishna here." So, this is not true that we're all Krishna. You see, this is called the Mayavadi conception, that we're all the Supreme. This conception cannot be valid, because if I told you that every court in Australia is the Supreme Court, would that mean anything? Can that be true, that every court is the Supreme Court? If every court is the Supreme Court, there is no Supreme Court, you see. This Mayavadi conception that everyone is God is a roundabout way of presenting atheism. If everybody is God, there is no Supreme God. You see? So we should be very careful to avoid the commentators who say that actually everyone is Krishna and we're all Krishna. It's not true. Krishna clearly distinguishes between himself and us. What is that distinction? He states in chapter 10, "Aham sarvasya prabhava mataksaram parvartate." He says, "I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me." So can you say that everything emanates from you? Are you the source of everything? You see, did Melbourne come out of you? You emanated it? You see? No. But Krishna, he can claim that. You see, he's the source of everything. Krishna also says, "Bhogdaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshvadam suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shansham richati." He says, "I am the enjoyer of everything because I'm the owner of everything. And I'm the best friend of every living entity. And those who realize this, only those can achieve peace." So can you claim proprietorship over everything? We cannot. Even this very body, we only have it temporarily. It comes and it goes by the laws of nature. Even your body, you cannot claim proprietorship over. It will be taken away by death, today or tomorrow or the next week. You see? So we cannot claim proprietorship over anything. There's only one thing we are proprietors of. You know what that is? The false conception that I'm the proprietor. That's the one thing we are the sad, unfortunate owners of. The conception that I am the owner. You see? That's called false ego. That we do possess. You see? So that possession we have to give up. Otherwise, there's nothing to give up. Someone says, "I renounce the world." But was it yours to begin with? You see? It's like somebody can walk into the bank, whatever your bank is, I don't know what you have here. In the U.S., they have Bank of America. Someone can walk into Bank of America and they say, "I renounce this bank." That's a lunatic. Or somebody can come with a gun and say, "Okay, I'm robbing the bank." That's a criminal. Both of them are bad, you see. The lunatic is not a proper person, nor is the bandit, the bank robber, a proper person. Both are improper. You see. So the person says, "Oh, I renounce this world." That is actually improper understanding. Or, "I want to enjoy the world." You see, like Hiranyakashipu. or some person who wants to exploit others, you see. They're both bad. The proper person who sees everything as the property of Krishna and therefore wants to engage everything in the service of Krishna, that's the proper person. So Srila Prabhupada in this Krishna consciousness movement is engaging us in the proper way. He's teaching us how to see everything as the property of Krishna and how to utilize everything in the service of Krishna, even your own home, even your own family life, you see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is the father of Srila Prabhupada's guru, or the guru of the guru of Srila Prabhupada's guru, you see. He said he was a house sorter, he was working a job, he was working for the British government, but he's a pure devotee, a spiritual master. You see, and he said that I work to maintain Krishna's household. In that way, even while earning money, working a job, he was a liberated soul, you see. It's simply a matter of seeing who the proprietor is. If you see that your house is your property, you're called a conditioned soul. If you see it as Krishna's property, you're a liberated soul. So the same activities are still, you're still getting up on Monday morning, you're still going to work, you're still making money, still reporting to your boss, trying to please your supervisors or your customers if you're a business owner. It's the same activity, but the consciousness is different. And you may say, well, how that consciousness would really make any difference? Well, try it. Seriously try seeing everything as Krishna's property and seriously try to engage everything that you have in the service of Krishna, and you'll be astounded at the difference in how you feel, you see. Rupa Goswami says, Iha yasha hira dashe karmana manasagira nikalasvapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. One who engages his body, mind, and words in my service in all times, places, and circumstances is a liberated soul wherever he may be in any situation in this material world. So you don't have to become a sannyasi to be liberated, you see. A grihastha can also be a liberated soul. You simply have to see that Krishna is the proprietor. These kids belong to Krishna. My wife belongs to Krishna. My husband belongs to Krishna. He's not my property. You see, if you see that everything is Krishna's property, and it has to be because it's all coming from him. Everything emanates from Krishna. He's the source of all that exists. And this is confirmed by Lord Brahma as well. Ishvaraha paramaha krishnaha satchirananda vigraha anadir adir govinda sarvakarna karanam. You see, and Krishna is the supreme controller. He has an eternal form which is full of knowledge and full of bliss. He is the origin of all. He has no origin, and he's also known by the name of Govinda. And he is the cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text number 1. So we simply can understand from the authoritative statements of these great acharyas like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, the four Kumaras, Kapila Dev, Janak Maharaj, Pallad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, Yamaraj, Svayambhuva Manu. If we can simply understand from the authoritative statements of these great Mahajanas, what is Krishna's actual position and what is my position? And we live in harmony with that understanding. We live in harmony with that reality. Then we will feel the most amazing difference in our consciousness. We'll become free of anxiety. You see, in this world, everybody's in anxiety. The poor people, the rich people, the middle class, the upper middle class, the lower middle class, the middle middle class. Wherever you may be in the society, in whatever country you're in, everybody in this planet is in anxiety. That's the thing. They're worried about this, they're worried about that. What are they not worried about? They're worried about everything. Now the big thing is the economy, you see. On the one hand is the economy, the other hand there's the terrorism, the other hand there's the global warming, you see, those three things. Water shortage is predicted, acute water shortage by the year 2012. For a huge percentage of the world population will face acute water shortage simply within, 2025 is what they said. Yeah. In the next 10 or 13 years, they predict a major portion of the world population will not have sufficient water. That's what we're facing on this planet, because there's so many anxieties. But you know, really, what's the cause of all this imbalance, the terrorism, the ecological problem, the economic problems, the health problems? You know what it's all based on? It's all based on the fact that we're not living in harmony with God. You see? We're not living in harmony with God. All the difficulties, every single difficulty humanity is facing the present moment, can all be traced to the lack of God consciousness, every bit of it. If we can simply bring God back to the center, Ishavashamidam Sarvam, Yatkin Shab Jagajam Jagam, you see, everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is owned and controlled by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things necessary for himself, which is set aside as this quota, knowing well to whom everything else belongs. But do they do that? No. Gandhiji very wisely said, there's enough for everybody's need, but not enough for everybody's greed. You see? People think that happiness based is they consider happiness to be when you're successful in your greed, then you're happy. You see? When you become successful in gratifying your greed, then you're happy. That's their conception of happiness. When you're successful in your greed, then you're a happy person, you see. When you want to get ahead, and you succeed in getting ahead, you see, then you're a happy person. That's the material conception of happiness. But where are all these big successful people now? Where is Stephen Jobs, you see? Where is Stephen Jobs? He's finished. Who knows where he is now? He could be a cockroach at the Apple company. You know. Where is Stephen Jobs? Actually, he appreciated Prashadam publicly. He gave a graduation address at Stanford University in the U.S. And he told about his when he was a hippie in Seattle. How I used to get one good meal a week going to the Hare Krishna temple. Maybe some of you have seen that on YouTube. He used to go, Ardina Bandhu Prabhu, you know Dina Bandhu, and he was the temple president. And he remembers that hippie Steve coming for the Vishadam. He remembers that hippie Steve. So that, because of that, he's gotten some, he publicly glorified, he said he loved it. He publicly glorified the Krishna Prashadam. So he's gotten some benefit from that, some real benefit. So he's in a good place from having done that. And he actually, Vaisheshika, my godbrother, sold him a book in the San Francisco airport also one time. He took a book, one of Prabhupada's books. So he has some good credits from that. You see. But all of his material credit, you see, that has no value actually. At the time of death, all your material assets are finished. They're all finished. Whatever appreciation you had of Krishna, that will carry you, you see. So try to do that in your life. We're not saying material success is wrong. You have to do that. You have to have an arrangement that you and your family members can be healthy. You have to have proper food, proper living facilities, proper clothing. That's all right. That's your quota. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedobhyam saha. Mantra 11 of the Ishapanishad says, only one who can cultivate nescience and transcendence side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and thus attain the full blessings of immortality. So that is your avidya. Taking care of your body, that's your avidya side. And that you have a right to do. That we have to do. We have to sleep, we have to eat. You see, we have to make arrangements for our physical needs. That's the avidya. But more important is the vidya, transcendental knowledge, you see. Because you can have a perfect arrangement for all your material needs and still become a dog in your next lifetime. even with a perfect arrangement, nice house, nice food, nice car, everything nice, but dog in your next life. So the most important thing is to understand that you're not your body. Understand that you're eternal servant of Krishna. To understand that you need to engage yourself in the service of Krishna. That guarantees you won't be an animal in your next birth. You'll take birth as a human being again to continue developing your Krishna consciousness. Or if you become very serious to become Krishna conscious, you take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. You seriously chant your japa mala every day and follow the regulated principles. You see? If you very seriously try to serve your spiritual master's orders, try to follow Prabhupada's books very carefully, then the chances are very, very good. When you leave your body, you go back to Godhead. Very good chance, 99% chance. And even if you don't quite make it, then you finish it up in your next lifetime. You see? So make that sincere endeavor. Seriously cultivate Krishna consciousness. And the reward will be unlimited. So are there any questions for me? Are they all blank? Are they written on now? How many days, months, and years will it take to create a taste for chanting? Well, you could do it in 1 minute. You could develop a taste for the holy name within 1 minute. It just depends on you. You could take 1 minute, 1 day, 1 week, 1 year, or 1 lifetime. It's up to you. What feeling do you put into your chanting? Can you feel any call out to the Lord, my dear energy of the Lord and my dear Lord, please engage me in your service and really mean it? If you can do that, you can get instant taste for Krishna's holy name. It's up to you. What mood can you muster when you chant? How is the guru selected in ISKCON? Prabhupada ordered all of his disciples to become spiritual masters. Any of those who were strictly following. So in our society, any Prabhupada disciple who's been strictly following, who has a desire to preach, to serve Prabhupada in that way, he can make that desire known. Or some others may just say, you should do this. It can be either way. The disciple can make... I was personally, for in my case, one of my godbrothers, he told me that I should do this. He encouraged me that I should do this. And Prabhupada had already also encouraged me many years ago in a letter about becoming... Prabhupada also encouraged me to become a spiritual master. He said, this is spiritual desire, he said. He encouraged me. I asked him, is it material desire or spiritual desire? So Prabhupada encouraged me that it was something that one could desire to do to be a spiritual master. He personally encouraged me. And then my godbrother also encouraged me. He said, this will facilitate you. He said, this will be good for your preaching if you accept disciples. He encouraged me. And then... So in my case, I was encouraged by one of my GBC godbrothers to do that. So there's different ways it happens, but in my case, I was encouraged to do that by my godbrother, and then many devotees agreed with him that I should be able to do that, and the GBC said they had no objection if I did them. So that's how it happened. So I don't know about other sampradayas, but in ISKCON, that's how it's done. How hard is it to convert to Krishna consciousness from Christianity? Because in my school it is said that Jesus is the Lord, as it is a Christian school. Well, we agree that Jesus is the Lord. Prabhupada has said, Lord Jesus. We have no objection, you see. Like we say, Lord Nityananda, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus is a pure devotee. He is called Shaktivesh Avatar. He is a jiva soul who is empowered with divine potency for spreading pure love of God in the world. So we have no objection accepting his divinity. But there's no question of converting Christianity, because Christianity in its real sense is Krishna consciousness, you see. For example, I was studying the Bible trying to understand what made Jesus the pure soul that he was, the realized soul that he was, so I could also become like Jesus. And I was praying to God to guide me how to become like Jesus. And then God answered me by sending Vishnu Janaswami to my town to tell me how to become a devotee of Krishna. So there's actually no difference between Krishna consciousness and Christ consciousness. They don't understand that. That's their ignorance, you see, because they're eating meat. Therefore, they cannot understand. But one who lives a saintly life can understand that actually the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Krishna are the same. Only the meat eaters cannot understand. I am 6 years old. When can I start chanting 16 rounds? You can start now. It's okay. You don't have to. We're not going to require you to chant 16. Who is this wonderful 6-year-old? Wherever he is or she. Thank you very much for this wonderful question. And you can chant as many rounds as you want. You don't have to make any vow. But just chant as many rounds as you like every day. You don't have to make any vow right now. Okay. How in this material world can one master his senses? You simply have to... Rishikena Sevanam. You simply have to engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna. And then automatically their master... It is said that we were all once with Krishna in Goloka, but because we have a free will, we choose to enjoy like Krishna. How come one who is in the spiritual world will be contaminated with the modes of material nature, become envious of Krishna, although he had surpassed all this in the past, become a topmost devotee? It's not that we were in Maya before, and we went back to Gaudiya, and then we fall a second time. No. It's something like they say, the curiosity killed the cat. One has a dual citizenship, you see. The inhabitants of the spiritual world also have a passport to Maya's kingdom. You see, we have a dual citizenship. So, those who are curious may think, well, let me check out this other citizenship and see what it's like, you see. Those who are intelligent enough, they say, no, don't do that. It's not worth it. It's like a little child. I gave the example many times. Little Amit. You see? The parents say, little Amit, whatever you do, don't... In the kitchen, there's a gas stove. They don't stick your hand in the fire. It'll burn. So Amit thinks, well, I don't know what burn is, but that sure is beautiful up there, that blue light. I don't know what burn means. The parents say it's bad, but maybe they're denying me something that's really enjoyable. You see? So one day when the mother's out of the kitchen, Amit sticks his hand up there and he burns his hand. Now, will he do it again? No way. Does he scream and cry? Yes. His mother come running? Yes. What did you do? I stuck my hand in the fire. But I told you not to. You see? So we're like little Amit. We stuck our hand in the fire. You see, here we are. We got burned. And now, burned but learned, you see. We learn from getting burned. Now we have learned from getting burned by the grace of Prabhupada. We've learned that from getting burned here. And now we're going to go back and will we stick our hand in the fire again? No way, you see. If someone follows four principles and chants 16 rounds, is he sure to go back to Godhead? If you chant without offense, yes, you're sure to go back to Godhead. But if there's some offense in your chanting, you may not. So that's why Prabhupada, at the initiation ceremony, always wanted the 10 offenses to be described as well. if you're offensive towards devotees, things like that, that can keep you take you back to another birth again. So you can work out those problems you have with not associating with devotees properly. Because in the spiritual world, you can't be offensive to devotees. Nobody's offensive. If you have a tendency to be offensive towards devotees, even though you're chanting and following the principles, you'll have to take birth again. So we really have to learn how to love the Vaishnavas. Now we have a good chance. We have a big society of ISKCON. There's so many devotees. You have your personality. I have my personality. You know, there are certain people we can get along easily with, certain people we cannot, according to our different natures. So it's a very good opportunity to learn how to love everybody in spite of their different natures. Because that ability to love every devotee, that will facilitate our going back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. Yes?
Okay. Chanting 16 rounds, following a regulated principle, associating with the devotees, can I go back?
That was the question.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
So why are you asking the question again?
So that is that's the inner meaning, that if I don't take the first step, how can I go back?
What is the first step?
Adho Guru Ashraya.
So, Vishnu Priya Mataji has made a good point here. The four principles in chanting 16 rounds, one has to accept the spiritual master also. That's included in what I explained, because the 10 offenses, one of them is to not accept the orders of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, has ordered us that we have to get initiated. That's Prabhupada's order. So to chant purely, you have to take diksha also. So that's an important point. Thank you very much. Why are the principles of ISKCON very strict as compared to other sampradayas?
I feel the shake.
I don't understand.
Earthquake.
There's an earthquake.
Yeah, I just shake.
Yeah. Oh, Jai. I've never experienced an earthquake before. Is there any cracks in the walls? I didn't even feel anything. I was in Los Angeles one time, and Los Angeles has had some really bad earthquakes. And I was sitting there with one of our GBC godbrothers, Virabahu Prabhu. And all of a sudden, the apartment started shaking. And I said, "Is that an earthquake?" He said, "No, it's somebody's washing machine." Sign just fell. Maybe the earthquake caused it to fall. So anyway, here's the next question. Why are the principles of ISKCON very strict as compared to other sampradayas? Because we have the expert guidance of Srila Prabhupada. Is it? Prabhupada knows exactly what we need to do. The other sampradayas don't have Prabhupada. That's why we're more strict. And we also have Lord Chaitanya. God himself appeared in our sampradaya only 500 years ago. The other sampradayas don't have a recent appearance of God himself in their sampradaya. I can't remember any slokas. I've been in Krishna consciousness for 2 years. It means I have yet to burn off my bad karma. I'm not intelligent enough to remember slokas. It means you just haven't worked hard enough to learn them. I guarantee you, you can learn slokas. I remember when I was a little kid, you had to learn what is your right hand and your left hand, right? At one time, I couldn't remember. So I put a ring on my one hand to remind me, that's my left hand. It took me a while to even learn which hand was which. So you think you can't learn slokas, but I guarantee you, you can. Anybody who thinks they can't learn a sloka, come for a darshan and I'll train you how to learn a sloka. It's not difficult. If you can learn your name, you can learn a sloka. You had to learn your name at one point in your life, didn't you? Do you all know your name? Does anybody here not know their name? Well, if you can learn your name, you can learn a sloka. It's the same thing. Your name is, you know, you have your first name, your middle name, your last name. Three words. So, if you can learn three words, your first, middle, and last name, you can also learn Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha. That's three words. You see, that's that sloka is a full statement right there. If you can learn the third, how many of you cannot remember Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha? You see? You simply haven't done it, that's all. You haven't worked at it. Anybody can learn verses. It's really not that difficult. It's just like throwing mud against the wall. If you throw enough mud, some of it will stick. That's my technique for learning a verse. My mind is like a wall, and the verse is like mud. Like that, I just got to keep throwing it, and you know, I just keep saying it again and again and again and again and again, and then finally it sticks, you see. Smeram bangi traya parachitam sachi vishtirna drishtim vangshi nista kishalayam ujvalam drandakena govindyakam haritangam itaha keshi tirutvakante ma prakshishta vyadi sake bandhu sanke sirangaha, you see. That took me a lot of work to learn that. I had to work really hard for many, many days, but it was really worth it. You know what that verse says? It's really sublime. This is from the Vidagdha Madhava of Rupa Goswami. One gopi girl, she's saying to her gopi girlfriend, she says, "My dear Sakhi, my dear gopi girlfriend, whatever you do, if you have any desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love in this world, then don't you dare go tonight to the bank of Keshi Ghat at Jamuna and see the smiling face of that boy Govinda. Don't you dare go down there, because he's standing there making sidelong glances and he's putting his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body standing... His transcendental threefold form is standing there very bright in the moonlight." So she's warning your gopi girlfriend. Now, was it worth learning that verse? Oh, it was really worth it. Because anytime I want, I can meditate on that gopi, telling her gopi girlfriend, you see. I can meditate on it. I can be sitting on an airplane, you know, waiting to take off, and I can meditate on that pastime. I mean, it's really worth it. Learning that verse. Anytime I want, I can meditate on that pastime just by sliding that verse. So it's worth learning a few verses. Is that more questions there?
Yes.
Even more questions?
Yes.
Oh my God, what should we do? I mean, why don't I just go through a few of them real fast? Okay. All right. What is the soul made of? Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. How to create trust in Guru while you're in shelter. By the more you can hear your spiritual master, you more develop faith in him. The more you serve him also, you develop faith. How long does it take to develop a good taste for chanting? Oh, I already answered that one. I've been chanting for 2 years, but it's more of a process than a prayer. Well, you have to try to feel the presence of Krishna when you chant. It's not a mechanical thing. It's just some mantra, mechanical mantra. Try to feel how Krishna is present, and then your japa will take off like a rocket. What do we get when we bow down in front of Guru and Krishna? You get the mercy of Guru and Krishna. If we offer bhoga to Lord Krishna every day, can we offer Indian snacks from the Indian shop to Lord Krishna to eat his prasad? It's better you make them at home. Because that takes more bhakti, more love. It's better you make them at home. Especially grains are not to be cooked on the outside, are not to be offered. Grains especially are not good. Because they very much absorb the consciousness of the cook. So if you like the Indian snacks, that's great. Well, learn how to make them at home. That's the best thing. How do we develop interest in someone in Krishna consciousness they are not interested? You have to become... The more you become interested in Krishna consciousness, it is contagious. You become yourself more and more interested in Krishna consciousness, and by your association, they will become interested. My friend's child was born with a disability. In the future, my friend's brother or his in-laws have been born with a disability. Is it hereditary, or is it individual karma? Hereditary things are karmic. How can someone generally become spiritual, surrender to Guru and Krishna? Maharaj, you mentioned about glory to Prabhupada. However, when you when you go back to India, there was only one disciple from India, and Prabhupada was very successful in the Western world, the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. What does that mean? Let's see. You mentioned all glories to Prabhupada. However, why when go back to India, there was only one disciple from India, and Prabhupada... Prabhupada only made one Indian disciple. That's right, in the beginning. Acharya Prabhakar. And nobody else was interested, and even he wasn't very much of a disciple. But he came to the Western world, and he was very successful. That was Krishna's special mercy and Krishna's arrangement for Prabhupada to spread this movement all over the world. But he wasn't successful in India in the beginning. It's only when he brought the Westerners to India that he became successful in India. Is it necessary that after taking shelter, a person has to take initiation, or he can stay in shelter? Actually, the real meaning of shelter is initiation. Shelter is some convention that they've... it's like a trial period. But real shelter means initiation, actually, in the Vedic sense. Tasmad gurum prabhate chacha gyashu shraya uttamam. You can look it up, Bhagavatam 11.3.21. It's directly stated there that one who wants to achieve the ultimate good must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. So real shelter means initiation. This term shelter is a convention, ISKCON. It's like being engaged to be married without marrying him. It's like you're getting ready for initiation. But real shelter, full shelter means initiation. That's real shelter. Why did you become Krishna conscious? Because I wanted to taste the bliss and I wanted to revolutionize the planet. Even though chanting 16 rounds regularly, sometimes I feel enthusiastic, but sometimes not. Why? Because you're still in the modes. How could I improve my chanting? Come to the transcendental platform as soon as you can by becoming completely surrendered to Krishna. Whatever you want, my Lord, I'll take whatever you dish out to me. Doesn't matter, good, bad, beautiful, ugly, I just want to serve you. If you take that mood, you'll always taste the bliss. What mode should one carry while leading kirtan? And what mode should one carry while following the kirtan? The mood or the mode should be one of absorption in the holy name, worshipping the holy name. Please share your experiences with Vishnujana Swami. I don't have time. I could take an hour or two talking about Vishnujana Swami, but I don't have time. I did. You can hear within a week or two, yesterday's Bhagavatam class I gave yesterday in the Melbourne Temple. We'll give you about 20 minutes of Vishnujan anecdotes in the lecture. Yesterday's lecture we posted within about a week or so on the internet. You can hear there, but I don't have time tonight. It'd be great, but it's not practical. And as far as Bhakti Vinod Thakur, I don't have time for Leelas tonight. We did, you know, don't have time. How to be humble. Offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for yourself. Can you please teach us some knowledge about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he simply taught us that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. That's the most important thing to know from Lord Chaitanya. How to have rus in chanting Hare Krishna. There's two types of rus. There's mundane rus and bhakti rus. So, rus in chanting means you develop taste for chanting. That means you have to surrender yourself to Krishna. My dear Lord, now I am your property. Do with me as you like. If you have that mood, you will get rus in chanting bhakti rus. Is worshipping other demigods along with Krishna devotion wrong? Krishna says you've lost your brains if you do it. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 20. how the university exam can be taken in Krishna consciousness. Say, my dear Lord, pass or fail, the result of this is up to you. You always mention being fully absorbing yourself in chanting. 24 hours, we absorb in so many activities in day and night with our consciousness and also in sleeping mode. Please give practical tips how to understand and practice 24 hours a day of Krishna consciousness. You have to offer and do everything for Krishna's pleasure, for Guru's pleasure, for Prabhupada's pleasure. That's the secret. Do everything for the pleasure of Guru, Prabhupada, and Krishna. How do we honor prasadam that appears materially spoiled? Was it offered to Krishna before it was spoiled? If it was spoiled when you offered, it's not, Krishna didn't accept it. He won't take rotten food. If it's already honored by Krishna, it was offered to him and it was not spoiled, and now it's spoiled, it's better not to take it. It might make you sick. Unless you're a very highly advanced transcendentalist, we don't recommend you taking rotten prasadam. Better to put it out in the yard, in the bushes, and so the plant can get the benefit of the prasadam. Can we offer yeast and soy to Krishna? Actually, Prabhupada in Germany said the devotees could make bread for the Sankirtan devotees. So I don't remember Prabhupada ever saying anything about soy, positive or negative. Frozen foods and canned foods. Prabhupada allowed frozen foods. They were using it in the restaurant in Tehran, when we used to have a restaurant in Tehran before the Shah, before Khomeini took over the frozen is canned foods are not are really last class. Frozen, something just like frozen peas, there's no harm, they can be offered. Will demigods direct us to worship Lord Krishna? There may be some verses where they do, but why do you need the demigods to direct you to worship Lord Krishna? Just take Guru's order and Krishna's order. How will one progress in worshiping the demigods? Actually, one generally doesn't make progress. That's why Krishna recommends not to do that. We understand that Krishna is not omnipotent, omniscient, knowing past, present, and future. Are we following his will, or do we really have free will to act different than his plan? Krishna has two programs. He has the material energy and the spiritual energy. We always have that choice. It's up to us. Do I want to serve Maya or do I want to serve Krishna? That choice is always our choice. Now what will happen if we do that, that will come naturally. If you remain in the material world, your karma means everything is predestined. This birth, next birth, everything is completely locked into karma chakra. If you serve the material nature. If you want freedom, you have to serve Krishna. And that will liberate you from karma chakra. Your choice of serving Krishna or not serving Krishna has nothing to do with karma. It's not karmic. Well, I'll surrender to Krishna when it's my karma to surrender. No. If you wait for that, you'll never surrender in all of eternity. You have to consciously choose to surrender to Krishna. Bhagavatam teaches to cultivate knowledge, spiritual, and renounce material attachments, then ultimately love of God. But the whole world is apt to cultivating material knowledge and developing attachment materially. How do we distribute love of Godhead without the first two, knowledge and attachment? We distribute knowledge of God. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. Prabhupada's books are transcendental knowledge, Divya Gyan, you see. Detachment comes automatically. We don't teach detachment, we don't need to. We teach people to become attached to Krishna and the detachment automatically follows. What steps a devotee must take to turn the whole world towards God? Turn yourself towards God. You be the revolution that you want the world to embrace. That's the secret. You want to make the world Krishna conscious? Great. Start with yourself. Position, heal thyself. Okay, so now the questions have come to an end. Now we ask everyone not to sit very peacefully and not go running here and there and don't serve out the prasadam yet. We have an opportunity now this is very important, to taking the books of Prabhupada, anyone who wants to take a book. We have these hardbound books here tonight, just a few of them. Anybody who wants a book will give you a written blessing. And you can, so anyone who wants can come forward now and take a book. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.